And welcome to Stop the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson. It's the 15th of March, 2023. Good afternoon, everybody, from RBN and friends. And that friend includes Ron F. Avery. He's video simulcasting the show today, per usual. Livestream.com/Ron Avery, A-V-E-R-Y, /Stop the Presses. And, of course, the border issue never seems to go away. I'll be looking at some visuals, perhaps, here. I kind of had to hurriedly get started today, and it's been quite a challenge here just to get ready in time. But one shower later and a comb across the hair, I'm doing fine. What's that Beatles song? Got up, got out of bed, dragged a comb across my head, kind of like that. But how you doing today, Ron?
Good, doing well.
Great, great. Yeah, we'll talk mainly about the border. Right up straight away, and then Ron has some stuff that's coming up in the Austin area next month. I think he'd probably want to promote. We'll see about that. We'll get to that at the bottom of the hour or after station ID or something. I may or may not be participating. Lots going on this month and next month. Anyway, in terms of the border, one of the big breaking news items is House Bill 20. There's also a similar bill, House Bill 7, in the State House in Austin, Texas. And the bill, if you read it on paper, would authorize the state finally. And you would think they wouldn't need separate authority for this. This is a little puzzling. But it would formally authorize the state to repel, there's one word, and deter, there's another word, illegal invaders coming across the border. And Representative Matt Schaefer, a Republican out of Tyler, seems to be the main sponsor. And I wrote about it for AFP, and I reported about it on Monday for UK Column, ukcolumn.org, where I'm a regular correspondent every Monday. Check it out. And I went into considerable detail in both venues. AFP hasn't been published yet. UK Column was not in written form. It was in spoken form. It's like a TV format. There's probably a little bit more detail in the AFP article that's about to come out in issue number 11 and 12 for 2023. But straight away, Ron, before I delve into it a little more and some related matters, it looks like you have all the systems running smoothly. Isn't it just a little odd, or am I the one that's off base, that the state needs a bill to pass, which people, supporters of it, are predicting it will pass and be signed by the governor? But I would think the state would not need formal legislation to deter and repel an invasion in the physical sense.
Yeah, I think the thing that throws everybody off is this term invasion. Most people think when you say invasion, they see an army with tanks and half tracks and militaries invading. And what we have is an unregulated border is really the essence of it. We have wide open, unregulated border, and there's no law for wide open, unregulated borders. If you have a country at all, you must have a border. It must be regulated, or either you don't have a country, or this is just another part of the world. And there's just no such thing as free flowing of people all over the world, anywhere they want to go, anytime they want to go, to stay as long as they want. It's just not that kind of thing, because a lot of people don't think the same way you and I do. And you end up with a mess. And that's what we've gotten in America, is a mess. And as people that don't have the same views of politics or religion or anything else.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I hear what you're saying, that if you're a nation and a state like Texas within a purported nation, then it's a given, if that's what you are, that you have a border. And if you have a border, it's a given that there has to be regulation. So if it's a given, do you need a bill?
That's the real question, and that's right. It's a given. You don't need a bill to enforce the law. It'd be like passing a House Bill 20 would say, enforce the border regulations that we have, enforce the law. Well, how stupid is that? I mean, what our real problem is that those in authority will not enforce their authority, will not exercise power that they have. That they have authority to exercise.
You'll notice too, before I get into the bill throughout the entirety of this show and some related matters, I'm not just going to zip through it. I'm kind of in an evolutionary sense getting through it. You'll notice that when authority is enforced, it tends to be against the people, not some external potential foe or potential threat or potential problem, which would be the normal thing. The government is your ally. You empower it, so it acts on your behalf. Due to economies of scale, it can do things at larger scales than you can as individuals. So you delegate through the Constitution authority for it to do things collectively that you would have trouble doing individually, but that doesn't negate what you do individually, such as the right to bear arms. So it's an enlargement of your rights, and yet it seems like the only time the government enforces the law is like through the COVIDocracy. They were coming down on the very people they're supposed to protect. Now, of course, they'd come back and say, well, we were protecting you from the virus. But the science was never as clean cut and clear cut as they said it was. And the media never gave even something even remotely resembling both sides of the story. So under false pretenses and under ambiguous information and so-called facts, we were on the receiving end of government authority. We were the ones not allowed to travel much, not allowed to congregate. And even through all that time, that border was by and large open. So the government regulates that which it should not, and it does not regulate that which it should. It's correct. A complete miscue, a complete misorientation of what it's supposed to do. Just like the media comes down on people speaking out through social media and says that's a threat to America, the media doesn't monitor government anymore. It doesn't check the state. It's coming down and checking the people who are checking the state. It's coming down on you and me as if we're the problem. The traditional job of journalism to monitor the government and keep it within its proper bounds is just so gone. It's a whole new definition of gone. There's nothing left of it.
And even this that you said about the science, I don't care if they had the science or not. They didn't have the political science to enforce the COVID regulations, the COVID lockdowns, because even if they'd had solid science supporting everything they said, they still couldn't make everybody do that because I have the right to do those things to myself, but I don't have the right to do those things to my neighbor, even if the science supports everything I believe. You just can't make people stay at home. You can't make them close their businesses, regardless of public health, because it public health also has to do with public liberty. It's more harmful to harm people's liberty than it is to let a virus sweep through a society.
Right, and that is if the virus is there, and if the virus is the nature of the virus we're told, and if all the particulars of the so-called virus are what we're told, you know, it has to be a genuine threat, not some chimera, not some alleged threat, you know. And sometimes you get the idea that the whole idea was to crack down on liberty, and that I know I'm going out on a limb, but that the so-called virus was almost a false flag in and of itself, or certainly exaggerated or mischaracterized. But at any rate, and I remember you and I talked on the phone about a spiritual matter where, and this is the short version, that a theologian I saw on TV talked about how even God doesn't try and control free will. That God tries to protect man from, dark principalities, from dark powers, and does you know, in the under the Christian milieu, tries to be our Lord, our Savior, our protector. But the one thing that the Lord doesn't want is automatons. He doesn't want us to come to him out of obligation or out of force or duress. He wants us to choose freely to be saved and to be under God's will. Therefore, he doesn't touch our will. So government during the COVIDocracy messed with free will. Even God doesn't mess with free will.
Yeah, it's well, first of all, I don't know that he's concerned about messing with free will as he is about authenticity. No one can come to Christ except by their own perception and will and desire to be free of sin and to live eternally. And right. he must perceive how that's done. He can't just do it on his own. He can't just say, "Well, I'm just gonna do that. I like what he's saying. I'm just gonna get on board with that. Yeah, just count me in on that." It's not like a decision you'd make. I'm gonna vote for salvation. You don't vote for salvation. You have to perceive it. And you have to actually go through a process, a transformation. And that thing cannot be forced on anybody. And so it's, but and what they're doing here with the COVID-19, they forced everybody to conform to what they think was going to be the prevention of a virus. And it just, but they infringed on everyone's liberty and freedom and actually disrupted the economy and essentially wrecking it and making prices of everything go up and the supply chains break down. All of this was done without authority. It was abject tyranny.
And it caused suicides. It caused the inability of some people to get certain supplies they need, probably medicines they needed. So it's not like protecting you from the virus is a clean cut, clear cut thing. It's not. It means you're going to deny people not only their liberty, but certain products and services and contact with other people that they need that is in the interest of their health and emotional and spiritual and physical well-being. So to protect us from a pathogen, other harms were allowed to fester, and that resulted, again, in suicides, in men abandoning their families, marriages breaking up. You know, that kind of harm, the ripples can be felt for decades. And so the nanny state messing with free will is just something you just don't do. And I think they got the message. But now, of course, long story short, they're trying to work out a world pandemic treaty where they can try and cancel out national or subnational, that is state and county resistance to pandemics. They don't want any of this independence anymore where a county or a state can say, hey, we're not going there on, you know, social distancing and masking and mRNA jabs. We don't believe in that. You know, our state, our county, our locality is not participating. They don't want any room for dissent anymore. And that's why they're working out that world pandemic treaty.
Right. And before we leave the spiritual aspect of this COVID-19 thing and the free will thing, I want to say one more thing, and that is what they did with COVID-19 is even worse than messing with God's free will, liberty of free will. What they're doing there is making natural-born man, created in the image of God, an enemy and a threat to the state that needs endless injections and implants to verify their safety in society and to receive their digital compliance currency. And this is actually the mark of the beast. This is just about as satanic as it gets, to make natural born man created in the image of God a threat to society. That is making the entire church a threat to society. Which I believe, if the church allows this kind of thinking to continue, they might as well just get in the shackles and say, "Cut our heads off! We're idiots."
Yeah, die of idiocy, right?
That's right. That's right.
Ironically funny.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Getting back to more somewhat practical, down-to-earth matters, the situation is such where the House Bill 20 made it this past Friday in the Texas legislative pipeline, which was the deadline this past Friday, for any legislation to be heard and moved upon. Any legislation submitted after this past Friday evidently will not make it into the pipeline for this session. And as most people know, the Texas legislature in regular session meets every other year on the odd number, 2011, 2013, 2015, and so on. And that's between January and the end of May. Anything else is special sessions or emergency sessions that can be called by the governor. But for this, for the current regular session, all the legislation that can be acted upon has already been put in the pipeline no later than this past Friday. And House Bill 20, according to some very reliable sources, made it into that pipeline at the 11th hour, at the last minute. It does create a border protection unit. And the unit commander is able to authorize people to repel and deter, it says. And people, regular citizens, that is, can be deputized by the state to help the state carry this out. That's a good sounding part. And however, even though regular citizens, everyday citizens who don't have a felony in their background can be authorized and deputized by the state to participate, in order to make arrests, there's one extra layer of authorization through the state that these deputized citizens would need to go through in order to go that extra step and be able to make arrests. So that's in the bill itself. But, you know, the other day I picked up, I think we talked about this on the phone. I was in a store here in Donna, Texas, and we got about 2 minutes before the break. I picked up a copy of the McAllen, Texas Monitor, a daily newspaper, which I've held signs out in front of during the COVID thing, because every story it printed was just absolute hokum and non-scientific, liberal mumbo jumbo and big pharma promotion under the guise of news, apologetics for big pharma. And I there was a story on this very same topic, House Bill 20, and it was like cutting through the thickest part of the Brazilian rainforest to even with a machete to try and figure out what they were talking about. The article was just a dense cloud of fog descending upon readers in this area to completely obfuscate and discredit the idea that the state could even consider going to bat for itself and for the U.S. and for the people, and could even consider trying to actually protect the border. The article was absolutely pitiful. Rear end wipe, cat box liner, you name it. It certainly wasn't a news story that I would call a news story. I mean, just absolute gibberish. So this is what you're getting. And you get civil rights organizations, spokesmen, and immigration attorneys who advertise in local media, and they get the floor typically. But we'll be right back with more after these messages.
Such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls. How we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Every day we roll from town to town. We see another mom and papa just getting shut down. And it's the same five stores everywhere we go. And it's the same damn music on the radio. Yeah.
Welcome to the next segment of Stop the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson, 15 March 2023. And the share screen for the video simulcast of this normally audio-only show should be visible. Ron, how are we looking?
Yeah, it's looking good.
Okay.
Looking good, yeah.
I'm combing through some of this, so we'll continue some of this after the bottom of the hour. Of course, we're always open to caller. But this is the Texas Tribune, a rather left-leaning publication. House unveils bill giving state authority to repel and return migrants crossing from Mexico. And the subhead, House Bill 20 by State Rep Matt Schaefer out of Tyler, I mentioned that, would test the boundaries of the state's ability to enforce immigration law, which courts have historically ruled falls under federal purview. That subhead is rather misleading. There is a long history, including Sheriff Joe Arpaio in Maricopa County, Arizona, being deputized, some of his officers being deputized by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, working with them to, for instance, arrest employers and employees that are housing and employing illegal aliens. Both the employer and employees are arrested, smuggling, all sorts of things. And Joe Arpaio's units, as Joe himself told me recently, would also deputize federal officers to do county work. It would go both directions and cross-pollinate. So the media likes to talk about how, oh, that's the federal government's job. And ultimately it is, but the states have the legal venue and the legal wherewithal, especially Texas through its own constitution, to enforce the border when the federal government won't do it. Of course, that fits into the doctrine of the lesser magistrate that I've talked about on this show, when the higher magistrate fails or refuses to do their duty, then the lesser magistrates at the state and county level have to interpose and fill in the gaps. So there's that historical precedent and that principle at work as well. And as I mentioned, Ron, the cooperation that Joe Arpaio practically perfected. And so given all the different facets to it, you can see right away how misleading the media is. It makes it sound like there's this antagonism that the states are this fair weather friend of the federal government, and they might upset the federal government's job, and the federal government should be left alone to patrol and police the border. But yeah, as I just described, it's not that simple. And there's cooperation. There's the avenues for the states to go it alone if the federal government won't act or refuses to act. So you see what the media does, how they cloud and obfuscate and prevent solutions from taking root.
I think they also are perverting the law in this case, because Article 4 of the United States Constitution recognizes that all states are republics, and republics are certainly capable and have authority to regulate its own borders. And if they can't, the only time that the federal government should really be involved in this is if a state cannot regulate its own borders. If the state is overwhelmed by the influx of population and unable to curb crossings, illegal crossings of its border, that's when it applies to the United States government for aid in doing so. And the president at that point is essentially required to respond by raising a militia or something else to put on the border to regulate it. And what they're trying to do is say that states don't have authority to regulate their own borders. Republics don't have authority to regulate their own borders. You have to let the United States government default on its authority to regulate the border.
Exactly. The way these papers like the Texas Tribune report, the state should just stand back and wait for the federal government to somehow do something. But oops, they're not going to do anything effective if they do anything at all. Now, looking here, this is also out of that same Texas Tribune article. Notice what Roberto Lopez says. I know we're coming up on the break. We'll just get started here. He's with the Texas Civil Rights Project. He's saying a new military force under Governor Greg Abbott, potentially staffed by vigilantes deputized as law enforcement authorities, will provide no protection to border communities whatsoever. He flagellated, I should say, or he pontificated. But if you read real quick here in this screen, what is a vigilante? A member of a self-appointed group of citizens who undertake law enforcement in their community without legal authority. House Bill 20, however, Mr. Know-It-All, gives the people, it provides them with authority from the state. It deputizes them. They are not self-appointed, taking the law into their own hands. So they are not vigilantes. Right. See, in the media uncritically quotes these people without doing what I'm doing here, defining a vigilante, showing that through this bill,
simple smile, such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them old when the fear it calls, how we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Welcome to the second half of Stop the Presses here on this fine day, the 15th of March, 2023. I'm joined by Ron Avery. We video simulcast this to livestream.com/Ron Avery, A-V-E-R-Y, /Stop the Presses. Speaking of the letters A-V, I'm showing on the screen for video viewers, describing it, of course, for audio-only listeners, a graphic promotion, a kind of an advertisement for the Alternative View Conference. It's a virtual one, live stream on the 23rd of April. I believe that's a Sunday. And I am one of the four speakers on smart cities and global cities. It says here, AV, Smart Cities and Surveillance Agenda. The speakers in order are Pippa King. I met her some 10 years ago in the UK. John Kitson, Mark Anderson, that's yours truly, and David DuBoyne. I'm going to pronounce it like that, D-U-B-Y-N-E. Live stream again, 23rd of April, 2023. The host is Brian Gerrish, who co-hosts the weekly, three times a week, UK column newscast with Mike Robinson, of course, a fine product it is. And I'm their U.S. correspondent. I do my regular reports every Monday in real time. It's 7 a.m. Central Time. For a short time, it's 8 a.m. Central Time due to the time change. But that changes again fairly soon, and I'll keep people posted. But everything is automatically archived there at ukcolumn.org, and there's just loads of good articles, just like there is here at republicbroadcasting.org. Both websites have lots of articles, videos, you name it, just a rich sources of information. So there is that. And while we're in that mode, Ron, We also have this here. This is bringing independents together to create solutions for all, better solutions for all. It's a conference in Austin, April 3 through 5. I'm showing the website. It's called the Independent National Convention. Again, April 3 through 5. That's a Monday through a Wednesday. It's not on the weekend. And real quick, it says independents rising above the ashes of failing systems. They're basically operating on the premise that there's a duopoly, the Demoplicans and the Republicrats, and those two parties really are two wings of the same internationalist world government bird, you might say. And they believe at this conference, uniting independents will bring a revolution in politics for independent thinking, getting out of the party duopoly, getting out of the straitjacket of party politics. Of course, the founders of America, particularly George Washington, were not real fond of political parties, and they knew where these parties might take us, and they proved out to be true. And anyway, that's a conference. You can look it up. Tulsi Gabbard will be there, a well-known former congresswoman who went independent. She's out of Hawaii. Dennis Kucinich, former U.S. congressman out of Ohio, former mayor of Cleveland. He was redistricted and gerrymandered right out of Ohio when he started to support legislation that might take on the Federal Reserve some 11 or 12 years ago. And many other speakers, I won't get into detail. And there's also, let me see, Ron, you might want to comment on this one.
And you can scroll up and down on that too if you like. I don't have any control of that too much. Yes, this is my live stream. I'll be live streaming Richard Gage and his Austin speaking tour at that Independent National Convention, and also at two other venues, both of them at the Bamboo Garden Chinese restaurant at Highway 71 and South First Street. And and that will be on 2 days, on April the 2nd, which is a Sunday. And it'll be the big deal will be a dinner. We reserved the whole restaurant, so when your ticket will cover your dinner and multiple presentations, but mainly Richard Gage's multimedia presentation there. And so all that will be live streamed, and you can buy the tickets right here. Right now they're at $30 to see everything involved in his tour. And then about a week before the thing, and they go up to $35, but that's the maximum price of the ticket for all the videos that to cover those events.
Ron, how would people most readily, especially those that don't see the video but are only hearing this audio, what's the best, most concise way for them to buy a ticket? The Independent National Convention, of course, has its own website, but what's the best way for people to get involved in person or to watch it online?
Yeah, if you want to watch it online, you go to mixandstream.com. Richard's working on putting it on his own website, but it's not there yet. But it's the same source. It'll show the same. It'll be effective on both websites. You can watch the videos on either website. So mixandstream.com is the simplest way to get there right now. That's M-I-X, letter N, stream, .com.
Okay, so that'll get you all the video and virtual viewing you want. And, of course, people can go to the website here, and that's inc23.us/event, INC, like Inc, 23.us/event, and it'll tell you a lot about the Independent National Convention. And Ron, your video simulcasting the whole thing, or just Richard Gage's part at it?
Yeah, basically Richard Gage is part of it, but I'll be covering 3 days of his booth on the floor of the convention, and whatever he does as a participant in these, what do they call them? They have different tables, panels, actually, panels of participants. So, but you also want to go to To get the tickets for the dinner and stuff, you need to go to Richard Gage's website, which is richardgage911.org. And it's shown in right now. That's his website you're showing right now, richardgage911.org. And he'll have the tickets for everything there as well.
Okay, there's the promotion of what's going on. Due to my preparation I need for the UK Column program, I may or may not take part in the Bamboo Garden part of this, ladies and gentlemen. I might cover some of the Independent National Convention as a reporter, just as an observer. But at the Bamboo Garden gathering that Ron talked about, I may be a speaker there in Austin near the hometown of RBN. I'm going to try and make that happen to talk about the media. Boy, I've got them in my crosshairs and I'm bottom of my shoe, ladies and gentlemen. This media, as we know it, cannot be allowed to stand.
Amen to that.
They cannot be reformed. There's nothing you can do for them except they need to go out of existence.
Yeah, it's the arm of those who have already overthrown the government. And the media is now used to prevent the people from obtaining lawful government. That's where we're at.
Right. And back to the border, what better definition? Of course, there are many, but this is a really good definition, right, Ron? A really good example of, as we've already outlined leading up to this part in today's show, where the media prints things and announces things, and you can see it in the way they do it. And then also what they don't do, omission as well as commission. You can see that they are preventing or trying to obfuscate and throw fairy dust in the air so people and governments cannot come together and develop trust to where the government operates on the behalf of the people lawfully and does the right thing. At all costs, the media tries to mitigate against that. They're always weeping and crying and gnashing their teeth, for instance, about the women and children, which are unfortunately caught up in this. But remember, an open border is an open market to the traffickers who traffic in people, who traffic in fentanyl, who traffic in guns, the wrong kind of guns in the wrong channels, and so on and so forth. And that is the open border that the mass media wants. So long as they want an open border and people applying for asylum, most of which wouldn't even qualify, and not even going along with the idea of making people apply for asylum outside the United States. As long as the media pushes all those buttons, you know they are not the least bit interested in law and order or in solving anything. And that open border harms the very people that they spill out their violins for, that they profess such love for. Those women and children are being harmed by what the media calls for, by what the Biden administration calls for. And when Republicans talk big, talk the talk but won't walk the walk, including what Abbott's been accused of, when they don't do their job out of design or default, then they're part of it too.
So, yeah, Mark, and I'd also like to add that I don't like the dimension that has been added in this argument about the open borders or the border situation is that the other side has tried to make the argument that everybody coming over here is a criminal. It doesn't matter. We don't have to prove that everybody that comes across the border is a criminal, is going right. to steal, harm, do that kind of stuff.
Right.
We have a right to control our borders to protect the unity of concepts and ideas about what lawful government is and about what culture is, what human life is. And these people must be what is called assimilated. That was the original idea that America was a melting pot. Well, the fire's gone out from under the melting pot. We're not melting things together. It's not what is on our coins, the unum. I forgot the Latin phrase.
Pluribus unum, out of many one.
Yeah, out of many one. What we're doing now is it's from one to many. There's no unity. There's no consensus in society, and that's what they want. As long as there's no consensus in the population, they can institute any level of tyranny they want, and that's what this open border is all about, abject tyranny.
Exactly. And I would put in the quick word. A lot of people, especially in the mass media cartel, they're always saying a tyrant can be defined because he's a hardliner. He sticks to a certain narrative and just drives it home and won't compromise. That is exactly the opposite of the truth. By and large, with few exceptions, people who get into tyranny, that is tyrants, they thrive not on hardline and strict principle and uncompromising positions. They thrive on ambiguity. They thrive on never defining anything. They thrive on everything being inexplicable and undecided and chaotic. And like you say, the lack of consensus, they don't thrive on a hard line. They thrive on there being no line at all.
That's right. That's right. And as long as there's no line, they can do anything they want to.
That's right. There's no objective reality. There's nothing to answer to. There's nothing to follow. So the next time you say, oh, he's a hardliner, and the media loves another one.
Demagogue.
They love the word authoritarian. Okay, so you have authority. You want to enforce it. And granted, it has to be fair laws. You don't want to have unfair, overly punitive laws. Granted. But anybody who wants to straighten out their country, such as Viktor Orban in Hungary, they call him an authoritarian. That's supposed to mean he's a hardliner. He's uncompromising. Well, in certain instances, and according to certain good principles, being a hardliner and uncompromising is a good thing.
Absolutely.
You got to watch out for people that don't define anything, that just kind of float along and make capricious, out-of-the-blue decisions, like Justin Trudeau. Now, there's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Justin Wishy-washy Trudeau. On everything and letting people get away with anything.
That's right. Right. If there's no principles in and of themselves, they can't hold anybody to account either. It's just, everything is just a free-for-all, a guessing game. But anyway,
yes.
Moving on a little bit, not being aware of any callers at this point, and some days you get them, some days you don't. This is what the House Bill 20 says in detail. The McCallum Monitor just can't seem to pull this off to actually read the bill. That's just too big of a thing for it. It's called the Border Protection Unit Act. The security of Texans and the sovereignty of the state has been threatened by the deadly activities of transnational cartels operating throughout Texas and the U.S. Many Texans going on have lost the peaceful use and enjoyment of their properties due to criminal activities along the border. I'm reading this from something visual if you want to watch this video-wise. Lethal quantities of opioids such as fentanyl are being trafficked and resulting in the poisoning deaths of thousands. Texas, and here, get this one, Texas is in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay, and now declares authority under Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution. The legislature, acting with the governor, has the solemn duty to protect and defend the citizens of Texas. That one, you want to go, well, duh.
Right. Sure.
Moving on, here's the interesting part. Let me see. The unit chief, and this is emphasized for those that are video viewers, livestream.com/Ron Avery, A-V-E-R-Y, /stop presence. The unit chief may employ law-abiding citizens. Get this. The unit chief may employ law-abiding citizens without a felony conviction to participate in unit operations and functions, but such persons may not have arresting authority, as I said earlier, unless trained and specifically authorized by the governor. They'll operate by land, air, and maritime, which means land, air, and water. Moving on, let me see here. We have, it includes section 411536 of this bill, construction and maintenance of physical barriers. The unit shall oversee the construction and maintenance of walls, fences, and other physical barriers. Abbott under Operation Lone Star has been accused of being too little, too late, and that's putting it kindly when it comes to this stuff, that he needs to be much more comprehensive and aggressive and faster in putting up much more effective barriers, not just, transoceanic shipping crates stacked two or three high. That's not often good enough. Anyway, to the extent, I'm looking at another part of this, to the extent consistent with the U.S. and Texas constitutions and federal state law, in the event that the legislature finds or the governor has declared a state of invasion, which he did last November, The unit chief shall be authorized to order the unit to take the following actions. And here it is on page 12 of this 28-page bill, to deter and repel persons, attempting to enter the state of Texas illegally at locations outside a port of entry. Of course, if they're coming a port of entry, they have to turn themselves in and then they're processed. But of course, the big mistake made there oftentimes is they're processed. And unless they have really convincing evidence that they would apply for and be eligible for asylum, once they're processed and maybe given a little clothing, maybe a shower and some food, maybe allowed to rest a little bit, they should not be put on buses and planes and sent to New Hampshire and Minnesota and Illinois. They should be sent, by and large, back home. That's something Correct. That should be changed. But anyway,
we do have one caller, Mark, if you want to take them at some time.
Oh, yeah. I don't have the name handy. Do you have the name?
Yes, it's Dave from Massachusetts.
Dave from Massachusetts. Fire at will, sir.
Yeah. Hi, Mark. Yeah, I've been holding. I think I called in about 20 after, and I was surprised when you couldn't see that there was any callers.
Yeah, when I'm doing the visuals, I don't see the queue. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
Yeah, so listen. We need a modern-day Gideon that'll raise up an army to do battle with the Midianites. We need... we need a modern-day Gideon that'll raise an army, maybe 300 men of war, that'll do battle with the Midianites.
Well, we're trying to do that, Dave. Yeah, I think you're helping us with that. Make sure you get our bumper stickers to put on your car. We would be the Gideons, and they'd be the Midianites.
Yeah, that's what we used to call them up in Alaska, the Midianites.
There you go. I like it. Okay.
Yeah. Now, listen, we're coming up on St. Patty's Day. These Irishmen, they can be a funny breed. They can be a strange breed, Ron. Now, you know, an Irishman will sit down to eat, but that same Irishman, he'll sit up to drink. He sits down to eat, but he sits up to drink. Now let me explain. He sits down at the table to eat, but he sits up at the bar to drink.
Okay. All right. What does that mean?
Well, you know, most people sit down and then they eat and they drink, but an Irishman will sit down to eat at the table.
Stand up.
But he sits up to drink at the bar. You don't get that?
Well, I'm sorry, Dave. What I was doing was looking at the screen, trying to get the screen to look right. It's kind of goofed up at the moment. Anyway.
I want you to explain. I don't want to trip over this. I have some Irish blood in my veins, and I always keep one foot on the floor when I'm eating or partaking of some suds, some brewski. I might even get on the table. Anyway, what does that mean? Sits down to eat, but stands up to drink or whatever. What is the full meaning of that? Metaphorically or literally, what is that?
No. It's just a play on, you know, he sits down to drink. He sits down to eat at the table. He sits down, but he sits up to drink. He sits up at the bar. An Irishman sits up at the bar to drink, you know. Anyways, I hate it when I have to explain the jokes. It's Irish humor, okay? I made that up. It's Irish humor. Hey, Mark, on a more serious note, are you familiar with the concept of that law enforcement in this country is using in these blue democratic liberal cities? It's called strategic inaction. Are you familiar with that term, strategic inaction?
I can only tell you that I've heard it. I'll let you define it.
Yeah, well, I'm the victim of it. If somebody wants to find out what's really going on in this country, boy, they should have me on as a guest and interview me what's going on in my life. Strategic inaction. That's when these police, they're actually teamed up with Black Lives Matter and Antifa. When you call the police, when you're being attacked by Black Lives Matter, or if they're taking down a statue of Christopher Columbus or whatever, the police, they have to respond. They show up. But they side in. It's freaky. They side in with Black Lives Matter against the victims of these black thugs. Oh, you wouldn't believe the nightmare I'm going through, Mark. If somebody wants to find out what's going on in this country, if somebody should interview me. What a story I have to tell.
Let me add something, David.
I'm a victim of this strategic inaction. It's freaky. Let me add something.
While I got it on the screen, we only got about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes. I'm showing something that fits right into this. I got it on the screen, describing it for audio listeners. 73-year-old rancher, late January, early February. He's being held on a $1 million bond. It was first-degree murder, now it's second-degree murder, for killing someone on his own land, although he evidently didn't kill anybody, but he's being held on that $1 million bond for allegedly killing someone on his own land along the border in Nogales, Arizona, by the Mexican border. And he heard a shot. He went to investigate. He claims he saw men in camo with AK-47s around the perimeter of he and his wife's property. This is about a month and a half ago, and he fired some warning shots, he said, well into the air, well above head level. He called the police and the Border Patrol. They came out. They found nothing. Later on, this rancher, George Allen Kelly is his name, 73. Later on, he found the body of one 48-year-old Mexican national, a guy who's been deported before. He's a problem child, and that body was evidently dead due to one gunshot wound, and they arrested this rancher for what was basically self-defense and guarding his land. So that is strategic inaction, probably of a slightly different sort. You might call it punishment by procedure, but this is the kind of injustice we're seeing at the border when people try and protect their own land, and the authorities come in and blame them.
That's it. That's all there is for the show. Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, nice talking to you guys. Somebody should interview me if you want to hear a shocking story, boy. Somebody should interview me. And I'll tell you, these people can gossip about the Jews all they want, but our biggest problem is the white race trade of pigs.
Well, thank you, David, for calling, and I'm sorry I didn't get the call sooner. The logistics of this sometimes get the best of us. Thank you, everyone, for listening here on the 15th of March. I'm your host, Mark Anderson with Stop the Presses. We'll see you next time. Check out the event we promoted today, and we'll catch you next week. In the meantime, catch Ron's show, The Search for Lawful Government, Tuesdays and Thursdays here on RBN. Have a great middle day of the week. See you later.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can't.